Thank you. One correction. It's Miss Mariah Croston. That's a hard act to follow with the videos and such. I don't think I will elicit so many laughs, but I'll try to keep you thinking throughout this presentation, and I want to thank everyone for sticking in there. I know it's the end of a busy day, and I wasn't expecting the room to be so full. I'd also like to thank the presenters that went before me for laying out the case that suicide is a serious public health problem, so I can probably skip through some of the background faster than anticipated. I will say that I am a health scientist at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. However, I am not presenting in that capacity, so that is my disclaimer. The research that I'll be presenting today was inspired by a subset of analyses that were completed in fulfillment of my master's thesis. Another disclaimer, I don't have any commercial affiliations that would skew my presentation of any of the information in this presentation today. Overview, pretty basic, going through the problem, background, and then getting into the meat of it, the methods and the results, and hopefully I'll have enough time to discuss some of the conclusions, implications, and future directives. Okay, like I said, the presenters that preceded me did, I think, a great job of convincing everyone in the room, if you weren't already convinced, that suicide is a major public health problem. And I'll be talking specifically about suicide, or more specifically about pre-suicide behaviors among youth populations. So starting with suicide, it's a leading cause of death among youth ages 10 through 24. In fact, it is the third leading cause of death among youth ages 10 through 14, and the second leading cause of death among youth and young adults ages 15 through 24. Now, like I said, this research is more focused on pre-suicide behaviors, and I'm defining pre-suicide behaviors here as ideation, so thoughts of suicide, planning suicide, so making a suicide plan, and attempting suicide one or more times. Among a U.S. Population of 9th through 12th grade students, 16% reported thinking about committing suicide, 13% reported creating a plan, and 8% reported attempting suicide at least once within the previous year. Healthy People 2020 agree. The drafters, so to speak, of Healthy 2020 objectives under the mental health and mental disorders section have laid out a nice objective to reduce the rate of attempted suicide among adolescents by 10%. So in 2009, the CDC reported that the attempted suicide rate among adolescents, and we'll define adolescents here loosely as individuals age 10 through 19. Depending on the study, adolescents are defined variably. But among adolescents, that rate of attempted suicide was 1.9 individuals per 100,000. So the target, based upon this objective here, is to lower that rate to 1.7 per 100. Now, I know that 1.7 probably doesn't sound like a high number, or it isn't overwhelming, but if you think about the fact that 14% of the U.S. population consists of individuals ages 10 through 19, according to 2012 U.S. Census Bureau estimates, that's about 42 million individuals. So if we roll this stat up to that number of individuals, we're talking about approximately 800,000 attempted suicides by adolescents per year. Now, that is enough to fill the Mercedes-Benz Superdome 10 times. So are you convinced that this is a problem? Can we move on? All right. All right. Okay, so why am I interested in the intersection of weight perception, unhealthy weight control behaviors, and I'll define that a little bit later so you understand what I'm talking about when I'm referring to unhealthy weight control behaviors and pre-suicide behaviors, ideation, planning, and attempts. Now, here's just, quick epi looking at the population distribution among adolescents of suicide and pre-suicide behaviors. So Indian and Alaska Natives have the highest rates of suicide. Non-Hispanic, non-Latino, white youth historically have the highest suicide rates. The non-whites, Hispanic, Latino, and white youth have the highest rates of ideation and attempt. So as one of the previous presenters said, that the rates of blacks do not equal that of the rates of whites. However, we've seen that over the past few decades, the rates of suicide among blacks have sort of started to rise and more closely approximate that of their white counterparts. And between 1981 and 1995, that rate rose by 49% and continues to rise. Now, the issue with, more specifically, with suicides in the black community is that blacks tend to commit suicide at a younger age, so that inflates our years of potential life lost. Also, the rates of suicide, suicidal ideation, and attempts increase with age, go figure, and there's a gender paradox. So while boys tend to suffer from suicide more often or have a higher rate of suicide than girls, girls tend to have a higher rate of ideation and attempt. And I know that sort of seems counterintuitive, but there are some things, some factors that that's attributed to. One of those is the method used for attempted suicide, but that doesn't account for that difference completely. Okay, obesity, weight perception, unhealthy weight control behaviors, and pre-suicide behaviors. Here's where I'll talk about why I'm interested in the intersection of these things. Approximately one-third of children and adolescents are overweight or obese, and that number is climbing. So obesity is also a problem among youth populations. And cross-sectional studies show that obesity and weight perception are positively associated with suicidal ideation and suicide attempts. Cross-sectional studies go on to show that the relationship between obesity and pre-suicide behaviors seems to be mediated by weight perception. So how does unhealthy weight control behavior fit into this whole mix? And I'll sum up these bullets for you instead of taking you straight through these. Unhealthy weight control behaviors are not only associated with pre-suicide behaviors as well as with suicide, they're associated with weight perception and a sense or a lack of body satisfaction. So here are the research questions that I explored here. The first one is something that's been explored in lots of other studies, cross-sectional studies as well as longitudinal. I'm asking here, is there an association between perception of weight status and pre-suicide behaviors in U.S. youth and young adults grades 9 through 12? And like I said, this is something that's been examined before, but taking that a step further, does unhealthy weight control behavior confound or mediate these associations? Important definitions before getting into the methods. When I'm referring to students that perceive themselves to be overweight, I'm talking about students that describe their weight as slightly or very overweight in the Youth Risk Behavioral Surveillance Survey. Obese students with a BMI at or above the 95th percentile for children of their same age and sex, and unhealthy weight control behaviors. So I'm not examining this full spectrum of unhealthy weight control behaviors, rather a subset for which questions were asked in the YRBS survey. So that's, did a student take diet pills, powders, or liquids without doctor's advice in order to lose or keep from gaining weight, vomit or take laxatives to lose weight, or did they not eat for 24 hours or more within the past 30 days? So there are a larger set of behaviors that are considered to be unhealthy weight control behaviors, but these are some of the more extreme behaviors here. All right, suicidal ideation, it's all about the thought of committing suicide, most specifically within the past 12 months. As per the question on the YRBS survey, suicide planning, made a plan within the past 12 months and attempted one or more times. I also created a variable to capture all of those outcomes. So suicidality refers to individuals who endorse one or more of the above outcomes. And just to note, these outcomes are not mutually exclusive. data set used, 2011 YRBS survey. It is more or less a nationally representative sample of U.S. public and private high school students, complex survey design. So by virtue of the survey that was administered, this is a cross-sectional study. The study population, the unweighted study population, came out to about 12,000 after reducing the population based upon missing values and for some quality control reasons. The weighted study population, so there are weights assigned to each observation based upon a few different characteristics, mostly demographic characteristics. So the weighted population was approximately 12,005. Data were manipulated and analyzed using SAS and accounting for the complex survey design as well as the weights assigned to each observation. And so the results that I'll be showing you are, some of them are descriptive. All of the variables are dichotomous, and I'll be running through the results of bivariate and logistic regressions. Empirical contributions. So I'm studying a continuum of pre-suicide behaviors, and most specifically, I've thrown in there suicide planning. There are some other studies that look at suicidal ideation and suicide attempt, but I'm looking at the full spectrum, so to speak, of pre-suicide behaviors and further characterizing the relationship between weight perception and these pre-suicide behaviors. All right, so these are the frequencies in this population, in the study population, of our outcomes of interest. So approximately 19% reported one or more pre-suicide behaviors, 16% reported thinking about suicide, 12% made a plan, and 7% reported attempting suicide at least once. And these proportions are in line with other studies, which is always positive when you're doing research to show that, you know, at least with the frequencies, you're jiving with other studies that have been conducted. Frequencies of our independent variable and other variables of interest, 1 in 8 students were obese, approximately 1 in 6 or 7 students engaged in unhealthy weight control behaviors, and approximately 1 in 3 students perceived themselves to be slightly or very overweight. So even though 1 in 8 students were obese, it seems like the perception among students that they were overweight was inflated. Here we have a table that shows bivariate associations between the independent variable and our covariates and all the outcomes of interest. So these are unadjusted odds ratios. And I'll give you just a few highlights from this table. Across all of the outcomes of interest, it seems that students who perceive themselves as slightly or very overweight were approximately 1.8 times more likely to have endorsed the outcomes of interest than students that did not perceive themselves to be slightly or very overweight. And the association between unhealthy weight control behaviors and the outcomes of interest was strongest. You see the odds ratios are coming in at about 4 to 5 times, which is, that's also in line with other studies. Now, obesity, there seems to be a less strong association between obesity and the outcomes of interest, and in fact, the odds ratio for the relationship that describes the relationship between obesity and suicide attempt was non-significant. Okay, so our multivariable results. I looked at 4 different models here, stepping in various variables into the initial model, which just contained perceived weight status, controlling for age, sex, and race and ethnicity. And you can see still, for model 1 and 2, where we stepped in obesity, students that perceived themselves to be slightly or very overweight were approximately 1.8 times more likely to have endorsed one or more of the outcomes of interest than students that did not perceive themselves to be slightly or very overweight. But when you step in unhealthy weight control behaviors in Model 3, which is highlighted with red, you see that the odds ratio as well as the confidence intervals shift. And I'm not showing some other analysis here, trying to assess whether or not there was some mediation, but perhaps there's partial mediation at play here. We're seeing the same thing for ideation. I need to jog through this. I have 1 minute. We're seeing the same thing for ideation, same thing for plan, but we see something slightly different for the outcome of suicide attempts. Not only did the odds ratio and the confidence interval shift based upon a p-value cutoff of 0.05, these odds ratios barely made the cut. So something else is going here that I'm on here that I'm interested in exploring further. So conclusions are that students who perceive themselves to be overweight are approximately 1.5 to 2 times more likely to have engaged in all pre-suicide behaviors within the past year compared to students who do not perceive themselves to be overweight. And this is in line with other studies. Even after controlling for demographic characteristics and obesity, unhealthy weight control behaviors may partially mediate the relationship between these two factors. And so this has implications for targeting prevention services, particularly in a resource-deplete environment. So even though resources are steadily decreasing for suicide prevention, this is still a problem. And so it behooves us to look for ways to sort of pair our prevention efforts. And that's it. I think I'm out of time. Thank you. I didn't stratify the population, if that's what you're asking. So I did throw it into, since my presentation is up, I'll go ahead and go back to it. So I didn't stratify that way, but after controlling for unhealthy weight control behaviors, you still see that there's significant associations across the various outcomes of interest. But one of the things that I am interested in doing to carry this forward is perhaps stratifying the population to look at students who were actually obese versus students who were not obese, or doing some propensity score matching. So there's still a lot of work to do here. This is just sort of like the introductory preliminary results.